I talked to Lou Holtz today.
Oh my God.
And John Cooper.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
He took some backhanded shots at Coach Day.
Of course he did.
But he also was like,
he wants to Greco-Roman wrestle him.
I know, but he was saying, it was so funny. He's like, he's done a fantastic job, but the criticism he gets is like outrageous. Like, obviously he's done everything you can ask except for ever beat Michigan. And I know that's a big deal at Ohio State. I coach there. But the funny thing was, he was like, I asked him, like, he was like, about like his relationship with Day, if he didn't like it. And he's like, oh, it's nothing could be further from the truth. And he's like, I don't know why. He was the one who came at me. And he's like, man, a great win last year. And this is like the most backhanded thing ever. He said something along the lines of, yeah, they had the ball at the half-yard line, and we're able to get it in. And yes, they needed a video review. And, like, we only had 10 men on the field. But you know why we only had 10 men on the field? It's all we thought we needed.
Cannot believe that huff and bluff. That he's just laying more bait out there.
I love it, though.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's like, I would never want that.
Yeah. He said, I don't know Coach Day personally, but Urban Meyer is a great coach, and he thinks the world of him. But he did predict Notre Dame to win. Can you believe that?
I wish Lou Holtz was here right now, Dave. I wish he was here right now.
Where is
the heart of the rivalry. Right. Where is Lou Holtz? Where is he?
He's home in Florida.
I wish he was here right now. Because this is a tough show.
I know.
This is a tough show.
It's a tough football team.
You're a tough columnist for the Toledo Blade, David Briggs. And I'm a tough co-host and photographer and producer, Phil Kaplan. And this is the heart of the rivalry college football show that covers the University of Toledo, Bowling Green State University, the University of Michigan, but exclusively today. The pre-championship show, Heart of the Rivalry, is only covering the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are hunting the Bolts. We're hunting the Bolts.
We gotta set the story up a little bit.
All right, set it up. Let's dial back.
If you're watching HOTR or listening, you know all about the Ryan Day v. Lou Holtz feud. Before the Notre Dame game last year, Lou Holtz, speaking of, I believe, the Pat McAfee show on ESPN, basically questioned the core of Ryan Day's program, saying they're not a very tough football team. He said in all the games they've lost, Michigan, Georgia, Oregon, it came down to the other teams being tougher than them. And, you know, they're a good finesse team, and Ryan Day's a great coach, but when it comes down to it, can't win the big ones. And, of course, Ohio State wins the game and in South Bend last year on a run from the half yard line with no time left on the clock.
And Ryan Day had been thinking about it.
And he had been thinking about it. Chip Traynham, by the way, who had that iconic touchdown for Ohio State, is now a Toledo Rocket.
That's right. He transferred. That was a tough run.
Two schools later, went to Kentucky last year, and now is at Toledo. And that was a really tough run. Now he's going to be a tough runner for Toledo. But
so I was wrong. We are talking about the other schools in the heart of the rivalry.
As we remember, after the game, Ryan Day's viral rant, oh, I want to know where Lou Holtz is now.
I wish he was here now.
He's kind of clapping back at him like 88-year-old Lou Holtz is a WWE villain. And what Lou Holtz said about our football team, I cannot believe. This is a tough football team. Blah, 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 blah. And, of course, all the other fan bases are saying, you know, Michigan's saying, you know, we don't talk about tough. You know, you just live it. Whereas Ohio State is just all they do is talk about how tough they are. But
do you think that made Lou Holtz laugh?
Oh, God, yes, of course. And he has not backed down. That conversation with him
is what he said not true?
I think it's
through some version of reality.
For sure. I mean, I think, it's not just Lou Holtz living in Ryan Day's head. It's a lot of the questions around everything about Ohio State's program, but I think that's a lot of the reason why we saw the play calling we did against Michigan. There's always this desire from Ryan Day and maybe now Chip Kelly to prove they are the tougher football team. Not to go back to Michigan one more time, but how many times did we hear the stat that the team that rushes for more yards in that game wins the game? And that just got stuck in their head, and they said, we have to win the rushing battle, even though we have the best receivers in the country, and we have to prove Lou Holtz wrong. So.
The best way for me to get across this table to that camera is right through the wood, Dave.
Right
through the thick of the oak tree.
But we've seen in the past few weeks, you know, they've evolved. And credit to Ryan Day and the players and everybody.
Agreed.
They have when they the chips were down, when we talk about all the sports cliches, how you do when you get knocked down, but Ohio State has lived it. When they were at their very lowest, they've delivered their finest hour. And maybe in a concession to Lou Holtz, they have acknowledged, you know, we're going to pass to set up the run. They've gotten more creative. And by the way, that final drive for Ohio State, I think 13 plays, 88 yards, that was a tough drive. We can all joke about the toughness, but that was tough football. They were pounding it. They were, you know, when Texas was wearing down at the end, Ohio State had a big part of that. And they were pounding runs. Will Howard kind of break glass in case of emergency. They were, you know, you're always asking, why don't they run Will Howard more? Well, because they don't have any options behind him. But when you
that is true. It is scary at the drop off.
But when you needed him, they ran him. Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, Luke Montgomery, Finley, Northwest Ohio's own, starting at left guard, playing great again. Offensive line delivered. Will Howard made the tough clutch plays. And of course, we know what happened.
How about that big knot on his hand?
I know. That was weird. What was that? Did they ever?
I think, you know, when you smack those top veins on your hand on a face mask,
yeah.
you can just pop one. You just got a little blood vest to pop.
Was that a, yeah, I don't know. I was going to make up some medical term, but you're the doctor.
Yeah, I am. That's right. A doctor who's on the lookout for Lou Holtz. I'm going to spring this on you, but do you have, in your mind at first reaction, a bigger play, single play, in Ohio State football championship run kind of history than Jack Sawyer's 82-yard strip sack score?
Yeah, that's a great question. Kind of... thinking about the great defensive or great plays in Ohio, great plays in Ohio
plays.
State history. Yeah. I mean, Holy Buckeye comes to mind, 2002 versus Purdue, fourth down, season on the line, Jenkins to Krenzel. Craig Krenzel to Jenkins. And Holy Buckeye, I mean, that's, you can't, the name is half the part of the lore. We got to come up with a name for Sawyer.
The Sawyer out. Score?
The
it's
Sawyer
just the
score.
Sawyer score.
I mean,
we on this show said that he was close to getting one of those distance.
Right.
For it to happen with his former roommate, which they only mentioned 417 times during the broadcast. That part of the lore elevates it to a different echelon for me.
Sure. Yeah, I was going through off the top of my head. I mean, you go through Ohio State history. Ray Griffin, Archie's brother, had a big interception in, I think it was the 1975 Michigan game.
You got me.
He did. I mean, it's one of the iconic plays in Ohio State history. Matt Finkus, 96 Indiana, to send Ohio State to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. C. Grant sacking Ken Dorsey at the end of the 2002 national title game, kind of flinging him to the ground as the
sealed
ball goes
it.
Up in the air, sealing. I mean, that's obviously a play forever in the minds of Ohio State fans. Chris Gamble's interception in the Penn State game in 2002, probably the loudest I've ever heard of Ohio Stadium.
I was there.
Place just shaking.
Making that noise, personally.
Yeah, for sure. It's not a defensive play, but Maurice Claret ripping the ball back from Sean Taylor.
That is an incredible play.
Iconic play in Ohio State history. Probably saved the national title for them, although it wasn't.
On a great player. Great on great.
Absolutely. And you can just kind of keep going on. I don't know, Titus Powell's interception on the two-point conversion in the 2013 Michigan game that saved the day.
Dave, those are all strong contenders.
Strong contenders,
but for me personally, I think they're below what I just... Now, that could be recency bias, but I will tell you that I don't know if I've had that much energy after a late game.
Yeah.
I was ready to go.
Yeah.
I was ready to put on the chin strap, as they say.
And you can't make this stuff up. I mean, Jack Sawyer, Ryan Day's first recruit. And obviously, he was going to Ohio State no matter what. This is the kid who grew up with. Scarlet and gray walls.
Well, you saw their connection after the play.
Yeah. Born in Columbus, raised in Pickerington, right outside of Columbus. Grew up dreaming of playing for Ohio State. Becomes one of the top recruits in the country. Maybe not as, you know, he has that crazy standard of all the guys he's followed, like Chase Young and Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa. And Jack Sawyer was as highly rated as any of them. I think a top five recruit in the country. And maybe we expected him to be that at first. He wasn't. He was just merely good. Kind of is taking that next step the last couple of years into a real superstar, especially down the stretch of this year. And for an Ohio kid, who dreamed of playing for Ohio State to get that play.
Dude.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's truly
beyond
is,
iconic
that truly
or
is
beyond a dream.
Stuff.
True.
And in the extra layer, he was Quinn Ewers' roommate when they were freshmen.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, you haven't. it was kind of cool. Quinn Ewers, they shared a smile afterward later. And after the game,
which professional, good,
gracious.
Honest competition
yeah.
for Ewers to go up to him and give him a chest pump. And then call him a punk.
For
you know,
sure.
That was
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
No. That was great college football.
Very gracious. Kind of like when former presidents kind of interact with your rivals on the field and in the political arena. But, you know, you can appreciate the other man.
You honor the game.
You honor the game. Respect the game, Phil.
Yeah, just the electricity in the place is unbelievable.
You said about 40% you thought showed up to be Ohio State fans. How loud was it given that the 60% Texas fans went stunned silent?
Yeah, you had the Texas fans in the surrender cobra pose versus the Ohio State fans, just pure jubilation and euphoria and glee. And yeah, credit to Ohio State fans for turning up. You know, there was bad weather in Dallas all week. And I guess in fairness, you know, for all these years, the South has clamored for a team from the North to come down to the South and play in real football weather in January. And here it was in the cold and snow. Of course it was in a dome, but that's neither here nor there, but they got some snow. It was icy, just kind of an ice storm all day Thursday that canceled more than 1,000 flights into Dallas airport. So we kind of thought that maybe Ohio State fans wouldn't be able to come, whereas Texas, Austin's only 3 hours down the road. Maybe it was going to be 80% Texas fans and thousands of empty seats. Not the case at all. Probably not an empty seat. Place was electric. 40% Ohio State fans at least. And yeah, when that happened, just absolute bonkers.
You believe what you were seeing? There was part of
me that couldn't
believe it was happening. I mean, because it's not that Sawyer's slow, but I mean, you got to run 82 yards.
I know.
It's a long way.
No, I know. There's certain moments in sports, and I'm not comparing it to this, but like the Rajay Davis home run at Game 7, it's like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I cannot believe
yeah.
I am actually watching this. One second, Texas is at the 1 yard line on first and goal. You're mentally preparing for overtime or Ohio State having to drive.
Not me, Dave.
You're thinking about.
I knew we had another goal line stand
you're
in
thinking
us.
About. I'm thinking about. Oh God, I'm gonna have to change the story.
Six
and
plays
do everything
inside
this.
The 10.
I know. I know. It's unbelievable. And Jack Sawyer had an incredible quote. What did he say? If you give us an inch, we'll defend it.
Yep.
That's
great.
That is a tough football team when you're doing that.
That's a
but
tough
yeah,
quote from
many,
a tough guy.
How many goal line stands has Ohio State had this year?
I think that's
the fifth one.
I believe that is the fifth.
Look at Nebraska, Indiana, of course, the big one at Penn State, and this is the play and the goal line stand that will live in Ohio State lore. For
was technically so. Two at Penn State because you got to count that interception.
Sure.
You yeah, know,
right.
So, but that's why I said I had confidence because our defense had shown up and won some games, and you know,
thought they would make a ridiculous.
I thought that Jack Sawyer. I knew that Jack Sawyer was going to score. I knew that Ohio State was going to win by 2 touchdowns because that's how you predicted it.
Mm.
So I just knew all those things were going to happen
yeah,
because
sure.
of this show.
Right. Yeah. No, it wasn't really much of a surprise. It was kind of like, you know what? When they got down to the one, it's like, I bet they'll do a completely insane play call that starts 10 yards in the backfield. And
absolutely.
I bet they'll have a 3 yard scoop and score by their 270.
Totally foresaw Steve Sarkisian saying,
yeah.
run the deep pitch sweep.
How do you not, first and goal, you have 4 chances to get 36 inches and one of the best offensive lines in the country. I know Ohio State's defense is absolute monsters, but just freaking sneak the ball.
So,
just pound it in.
So if you look back at the one play where they tried to pound it,
right,
they
right.
put in that enormous defensive lineman, number 98.
Mm-hmm.
They put him in as the fullback. But the guy they gave the ball to, and this had to be pointed out to me in the chaos, the guy they gave the ball to on that one play, that was his first carry of the game. It wasn't their normal running back.
Okay. I did not realize
that. And if you
that.
Rewatch that play in the all 22 view.
Which you have three times
course,
the entire
absolutely,
game.
Absolutely, of course. He doesn't follow that guy.
Okay.
So that guy kicks out the edge and he doesn't follow him. He goes up into the
yeah.
mass of humanity
right,
and gets
right.
pulled back by our incredible defensive line. And then Sark says,
Right.
It's time to pitch it.
I get the sentiment, but come on. Like, what are you saving Quinn Ewers for? You're worried about getting hurt? Just plow ahead and get maybe get 12 inches at a time.
Thankful we are for his choice.
That's true. Sets up the dream matchup.
I thought it was funny, though, before we get into that, I thought it was funny that he called out Will Howard, because Will Howard had a breakaway and stumbled on those heavy painted lines down at the Cotton Bowl. And he said, I just didn't want to fall.
Because
there was part of me that was watching him clearly all alone. And I was like, don't fall. Please don't fall.
I know. One of the wags online said, well, they call the Kentucky Derby the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. He said Jack Sawyer's run was the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. I mean,
a home run trot on some level.
It did look like in slow motion. And he just had the entire team basically as a cavalcade blocking for him. And what a moment.
Do you love Ryan Day's, anybody's coaching from the sidelines at that point? Go! Yep.
I'm going.
You want to talk about John Cooper? Didn't you talk to John Cooper today?
I did. But it was kind of, what's the...
You talked to Lou Holtz and John Cooper in one day and you're being modest about it?
No.
What did Cooper eat? What did he have for breakfast?
He was good, though.
He wasn't also in a car accident in Florida, was he? I'm beginning to question the motives.
He's in Columbus. He's at all the Ohio State games. I believe he's 87. Lou Holtz is 88. Both sharp as attack. Both great guys. Enjoy visiting with Coop as well.
Were you able to... Did you ask him about any... You know, because he used... For viewers at home without the full tapestry of college football's history on command as we have... He was Arizona State's coach.
He was.
Did he mention anything about their run? Did you ask him?
Oh, that's a good point. I should have asked him.
My
theme was kind of like, no one can empathize with Ryan Day more. I mean, obviously they wear the scarlet letter of being struggling to beat Michigan. And it's just interesting to look back at
Scarlet letter of trying to beat Michigan? Dave, you should be a writer. That is compelling.
I've used it before.
It's good.
Just copying myself. No, I just thought it was interesting. I'm just kind of on the theme of, you know, Ryan Day and Coach Cooper, John Cooper, I'm calling him, he's not my coach. Ryan Day and John Cooper are friends. He's around the building. I believe he may still be doing some scouting for the Cincinnati Bengals. Just a great guy, great football man. And it's just kind of on the theme of, you know, no one is rooting harder for Ryan Day this week. And he can appreciate what this playoff would have meant for him. Think of the mid-90s if those teams had a 12-team playoff. Think in 93,
that's a good point.
93, 94, yeah. 95, 96, 97, 98, all 6 years probably would have made a 12-team playoff. 96 and 98, probably Ohio State has the best team in the country.
Yep.
So he never got the chance to go on the run that Ryan Day is now.
Enjoying.
Right. And it's like, think about if they still had a 14 playoff this year, maybe Ryan Day has been fired already because they're not making the playoff. You lose to Michigan fourth straight.
Well, they're
year.
The eight seed. I mean, Notre Dame probably wouldn't have made. I mean, that is already showing the feather and the cap of the college football committee that the 12-team playoff is good because.
Yeah.
Ohio State and Notre Dame might have been on the outside looking in.
If we had the old BCS system, just one versus two, we would have had
more Alabama.
Oregon versus Georgia.
We would have.
Georgia sucks. I mean, they were playing their backup quarterback. Like, they're kind of in a down year anyway. They struggled through the SEC. I know they won the SEC title, but is that even an accomplishment this year?
It is not.
Anyway, long story short, this is the playoff of Northern aggression. The North is back, second straight year without an SEC team in the playoffs, an all-Midwest championship game. This is awesome.
Ohio versus Indiana.
Versus the world. It's an interesting topic. We put it on for the Blade Sports Poll question of the week. Given our unique place in Northwest Ohio, given that Notre Dame and Ohio State are both rivals for Michigan, obviously, Ohio State is a rival on a completely different level.
Mm-hmm.
But you think there's a small part of Michigan fans that are rooting for Ohio State back-to-back Big Ten titles, and you can claim the maybe delicious backwards trolling. Is there anything?
Oh, they're the champs, but we beat them?
Yeah, is there anything that you could troll them with? What would you, if you were a Michigan fan, what would you rather have? Being able to kind of troll Ohio State fans and say, we beat you in a year you won the national title? Or would you just want Ohio State fans to be very upset and not have them experience the joy of winning a national title and have the momentum that comes with that? Would you rather have Ohio State fans be completely...
I think this is a good question, because not only do you have two popular programs, but the flip side of that coin is you have two of the most loathed programs outside of their fan bases.
Right.
People love to hate on Notre Dame. People love to hate on Ohio State.
And Michigan.
Michigan, in particular, none more suited to hate on them both. So if you're a Michigan fan and you're rational, I think you want Ohio State to win so that you can say, we beat them, we're better than them, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. If you're irrational, I think you just pray that Lou Holtz takes the field,
right,
and it's called a draw, and there is no championship. That's how you would feel.
And I wonder if it's different in Northwest Ohio because you're living the rivalry every day. Like, can you stomach having the people who have talked so much trash have this joy, or vice versa?
Living the rivalry every day. Is that our new tagline?
We should.
Living the rivalry every day. That's the title of the show, for sure.
I know.
Have any other additional insights for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, for our Ohio State fans or Michigan fans who are rooting against them, or our Toledo or Bowling Green fans who are rooting for, I don't know either.
I've seen a lot of fans saying they're rooting for the Meteor, so.
I'm telling you, man, people love to hate on both of these programs. Yeah. Storied as they are, iconic as they are, the Golden Domes versus the Scarlet and Gray and the Green Leaf.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is absolute dream matchup beyond being all Midwest. I mean, yeah, this is the made in Toledo matchup. I mean, you look at, I believe I heard once that Notre Dame or Toledo is Notre Dame's fourth biggest market, after Chicago, Indianapolis.
That is crazy.
I mean, we have at least per capita, but I mean, Toledo obviously has an incredibly heavy Catholic population. The Catholic high schools have funneled players to Notre Dame over the years, including most recently in a clash of your worlds, DeShone Kizer, former Cleveland Browns quarterback.
Former Cleveland Browns, great.
Shout out to DeShone. Yeah, and I even talked to Lou Holtz about that. He said, you know, Toledo was a huge market for us. We had a ton of meetings there, or events, speaking engagements.
I saw Marcus Freeman speak here in Toledo.
Yeah,
he
was the guest at the National Football Foundation dinner downtown last year.
Yep.
And Freeman's, that's what's interesting. I mean, Freeman, everybody likes to hate Notre Dame, and certainly Brian Kelly gave off that, you know, not many people like Brian Kelly nationally, but Marcus Freeman is kind of a harder guy for the nation to hate.
He's pretty lovable, and as a former Buckeye.
Right. Is there anything you can say? I mean, Marcus Freeman, and kind of pandering to the Notre Dame fans, when he first got hired, he said he wished he had gone to Notre Dame over Ohio State, which obviously is a complete lie.
It's a lie.
He grew up in Ohio. He played for two national championships at Ohio State, beat Michigan every year. I don't think he was thinking, oh, man, I wish I had gone to Notre Dame to play for Charlie Weiss. that's just the comic that there's pandering, and then
sorry,
just,
Charlie.
Then there's just
sorry.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. Can you hear me down there, Charlie? On the bus, under the bus,
under the wheels. But
it is no coincidence that in the season that the heart of the rivalry began, that one of our teams is playing for the championship. I know you thought it was going to be Bowling Green, although I had Ohio State penciled in a little bit. And we have been portentful with our crystal ball and looking forward into the scores. You called 31-17 against Texas, turned out being 28-14. Pretty good. What are your thoughts on Ohio State and Notre Dame for the national championship, the heart of the rivalry, the wind in the sails of Ohio State in the ultimate game?
You have to like Ohio State's chances. If you're an Ohio State fan, I'd be a little concerned just by the nobody giving Notre Dame a chance, Ohio State being a 9.5-point favorite. I mean, look at the last 2 years. Those have gone down to the wire. Notre Dame has a great defense, and you could see a scenario where they are able to slow Ohio State down a little bit, and you get into a dogfight, and next thing you know, it's a 50-50 game like Texas. But I just think Ohio State is – there's no area where they're not better than Notre Dame. Some – at least even. Some areas they're even. Some areas are slightly better. And then some areas like explosion on the outside and the perimeter on offense, they're way better. So I think Ohio State 31-13, just think they're on too much of a mission this year. Talked about this off camera a little bit, but – it's kind of all or nothing for Ohio State. If Ohio State loses this game, like the narrative around Ryan Day moves like 0.00000001 millimeters. He's kind of the same exact coach. Can't win the big one. Can't beat Michigan.
After all that.
Can't even go to the Big Ten title game. It'd be 0 for 12 in your three biggest goals the last 4 years. If you win, all-time legend, you cap this incredible redemption story. You go down on the tallest, deepest pages of Ohio State lore, the greatest pages of Ohio State lore. And I just think the pain they've dealt with, the criticism, the questions, the doubt, everybody coming back for one more year, being all in for this year, I just can't imagine them letting down. So yeah, Ohio State 31-13.
Other than Notre Dame having a receiver named Greathouse, which is a fire last name.
That's concerning.
We have by and not just leaps and bounds. I mean, Notre Dame is it's been known as one of the vulnerabilities of their team. They don't have down the field receivers. So not only our receiver core is better than teams that have great receivers.
Hard to imagine them scoring at Ohio State.
I mean, with Caleb Downs, he's such a quarterback of the defense, right, as people like to say. So I see them more performing like Oregon than they did against Texas. I think they're ahead at the half, and I think they're, I'm going to say 41-17, okay, maybe 41-21.
I thought you'd be a little more confident, but that's...
I don't want to say 41-10 because I think Ohio State will, there will be a you know...
Well, you want to let the backups get
a backup score, that's right. I look forward to hearing from you out there.
Fun.
You got any restaurants picked out where you're going to eat in Atlanta?
Not yet, but... Can't beat the you can beat Atlanta food, but it's
Are you gonna play any pickup basketball down there?
We might. We're talking about Jack Sawyer and Riley Leonard.
If you haven't looked up Jack Sawyer or Riley Leonard's high school basketball tapes, incredible. Yeah. Especially Riley Leonard can punch it.
Throwing down monster jams.
Some real jelly dunks, though.
And they're having a
charity
3-on-3 game the day before. No, they're not. That would be... That would be...
I would have to go.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. I mean, nobody's better 3-on-3 player than you. So.
Other than Dave Briggs.
No, it's not
he's,
true.
He's our Blade columnist who will be at the national championship game. I am your photographer, Phil Kaplan, who will be at a bocce ball tournament later tonight. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Phil. Good show.
It wasn't a good show? Do you think Ohio State's going to perform like that? Going to have a couple false starts?
I think there'll be some self-inflicted wounds like last time, but in the end, they were able to pull it together. Mark May and Lou Holtz. Remember when they do like those mock court sessions on College Game Day Live or whatever? Reese Davis would play the host and...
That stuff was hilarious.
Yeah, it was Mark May versus Lou Holtz, and I think Reese Davis hosted it.
He would wear the
gown,
the wig.
Oh, the wig.
And the coaches.
So ridiculous.